Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We got some callers in here. They want to get in, talk on the radio. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Let's go. AJ, we said you got a board, so let's get to it. It's the shortest wait times in the business. Always has been.
Even this thing you're doing is gimmick infringement. You're not only lying, this is gimmick infringement.
It's shortest wait times in the history
now,
of radio.
The show you're taking it from has long since been deceased, but, I mean, just to correct the record, that is a Raheel Adell invention.
Well, guess what? Guess what? It's no longer. Theft. It's dead and gone.
This is. I'm aware. Well, theft.
I dug up the grave, and
you're desecrating the grave of Raheel Adell.
And I dug up the bones, and I'm using them. Okay, for soup.
Ugh.
Yep.
At least it's soup and not other stuff you can do with the body.
What? Who's the caller, AJ? Who's first?
First is Miguel. He wants to talk about the Dynamo.
Okay. The Dynamo. Let's go. Are they in first right now?
Have you met the Dynamo?
No. What's going on?
Hey, John. Hey, Dill. How's it going, guys?
How you doing?
Good. Hey, John, can you hit me with the Que Paso, Mijo?
Dude, what?
He wants you to hit him with Que Paso, Mijo.
Oh, Que Paso, Mijo. ¿Quién es?
My question is, do you guys think that the Houston Dynamo would ever sign a superstar like Benzema or Cristiano Ronaldo? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I mean, I really don't know how this all works in MLS. Because Lewandowski is with Chicago. We know Messi with Miami.
You've had Pele go to New York.
The Los Angeles teams
have David Beckham go to LA.
Yeah, the Los Angeles teams have done this. They have signed international stars. The Dynamo
Dynamo ever?
Was it Hector Herrera after he was long past his prime, the former Mexico international? They have never really done the thing. I don't know if that's just because MLS has such a say in where some of these guys go. Would it be beneficial to the league for the Dynamo to have a former and still international star? How much does that play a part in where these guys land? I couldn't say, Miguel, whether it'll happen.
Cristiano Ronaldo coming here.
Do we see a Ronaldo being in Houston, or would he go to one of the premier franchises in the league?
Well, how much of the franchise would they give him?
Yeah, that too, with the Messi deal that has been highlighted quite a bit. If Ronaldo wanted part ownership in the Dynamo, would that happen? Would the MLS allow it? Because Inter Miami seems to play fast and loose with the rules of MLS. They just seem to get away with whatever they want to. At least that's how some of the fans feel. I would say the history suggests no.
Who owns the team now? Tim Howard? James Harden?
They are part owners of the team, I believe.
Yeah.
At least James Harden is. I don't know that Tim Howard is, but we did have someone talk about that, right? This week.
Right. I mean, and
yeah, he is a minority investor for the
who's
Dynamo
the
and the
main
Dash.
Owner?
I don't know who the principal owner for the Dynamo is. It's not. We know, of course, Rockets, Texans, and Astros. I don't know. This is clearly a Glenn Davis question, Miguel.
Well, yeah, Glenn knows because Glenn knows who fired him, basically. But Glenn was like, Glenn didn't care. He was going to tell the truth about the organization.
So Ted Siegel is considered the majority owner and chairman of the Dynamo.
Glenn was way too honest about the ownership.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yep,
it's tough when you're honest.
It's tough when you speak truths.
Yeah,
difficult. Who's next, AJ?
Travis. He wants to talk about playoff convo.
Let's go, Travis. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Que pasó,
World Cup's over, man. Let's get off of soccer. Hey, last year, a lot of good teams missed the playoffs. Detroit, Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati, if they were healthy. Who do you foresee going further or having a better record? I personally don't think, I think Baltimore. I think Mahomes, you know, put their bad leg and having to play Denver and Chargers. I think Baltimore is probably going to have the better record. What do y'all think?
Yeah, you know, Cincinnati is projected to win more. Cincinnati, a lot of people. I don't know if I'm jumping on that Cincinnati bandwagon, tell you the truth. I can't trust Joe right now to be healthy. Just can't trust him. He just doesn't. If he is healthy, would you like Baltimore or Cincinnati more?
I don't know that the Bengals are going to get any stops. Now, they did trade for Dexter Lawrence, but even when Joe's healthy, they put him in spots, and we did the thing where we read some off some of the numbers where Joe Burrow, what is he like, was he the guy who was 1-30 something when his team is trailing by with 8 minutes to go in the game? Yeah. Their defense has not been good over the course of almost his entire tenure, except for some playoff runs. But is their defense going to get stops? Because Joe can go score 30, but their defense is going to put him in a spot where he has to go score 34. That's tough to do week after week. So I will take tried and true Baltimore. As it stands now, they're 8-9 last year, so they have less to do, I guess, because the Bengals I think only won 6 games. I'll take Baltimore to go get themselves back in the playoffs. I don't think much of the AFC North.
You like Baltimore
over the Bengals and the Steelers.
And the Steelers. What about, okay, make the playoffs. Chiefs?
So we had Travis mention Mahomes. He was out there taking reps in 11-on-11, so he'll likely wear a brace throughout the year, but he's out there, so I'm going to assume he'll play.
I just don't think they're as good.
I think their wide receivers are as good as they've really ever been, which is not saying much. And we had this conversation, I think, yesterday about Rashee Rice and his availability. But they lost McDuffie. I don't think they're as good either. But the question is, do you have Denver as the clear one in the AFC West over the Chargers?
I do.
So can they beat the Chargers out for that second spot in the West?
Well, and you could have 3 teams from a division.
Oh, certainly, but
are they okay? Are the Colts a playoff team?
No.
Are the Jags a playoff team?
I think more so than the Colts. So I'll go Colts, Texans.
Are the Bengals a playoff
No.
team?
No. And there's 2. Do we think the Patriots are going to be a playoff team?
I don't.
Okay. Then there's certainly spots for 2 AFC West teams.
Every year
beyond the Broncos.
Every year it changes, and so, there will be changes.
Despite
Ravens, it. Yeah, I like the Ravens to be in, too.
For some, I know it's off the field, but I think that Vrabel thing is going to be an issue all year long, even though they've added to the wide receiver core.
You think this is the best wide receiver group the Chiefs have had?
I mean, there's been Tyreek and who else when he was there? So, Tyreek at the top, clearly. But if Rashee Rice is playing, it's very much like since Tyreek has been gone, and they've done a lot of winning since Tyreek has been gone. That's what I mean, I guess. Post Tyreek, I would say this receiver corps stacks up against all the other ones they've had there, which, as I said, wasn't saying much. The Kelce one is the bigger problem. That there's no way he's going to be as good as he was. We talked about this. Can Kenneth Walker give them an element that they haven't had? If he does that, I think I'm taking them over the Chargers. If Kenneth Walker can be the guy he was in the postseason, then I like them over the Chargers. But if he isn't, if he's the guy he was in the regular season where he wasn't even the starter and Zach Charbonnet was a starter, then you have every right to believe that, and I know you think a lot of Marion Hampton this year, then you have every right to believe the Chargers are going to be better. Can the Chiefs find a running game that they haven't had? That's my bigger question for them beyond their wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm not big on the on the Chiefs right now. And I'm not crazy about their wide receiver room. I mean,
like Worthy and Rashee Rice, are they any worse than the guys that they've had post Tyreek? It's kind of the same deal. They've always had the questions about those guys. And they found a way, mostly because Kelce was their answer, but he's not the answer anymore. So that's why I'm now looking at Kenneth Walker. Can he be a difference maker there? Because the offensive line should be okay, and Mahomes is ready to go. And their defense, they've gone younger at corner. They'll have Mansoor Delane from LSU as their starter. They drafted him. They brought Kader Kohou in. He was a good nickelback with the Dolphins. He got hurt last year, so he'll help in that regard. I think their defense will be good enough, and their offense will at least have Patrick Mahomes to bail them out of situations if they can run the football. So we'll see.
I wonder how that fan base feels about them moving to Kansas.
Yeah, I don't know how that breaks down. How many people from Kansas travel to their games in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri? So I don't know. I don't know how that breaks down.
Yeah, I wonder if they feel like abandoned, like Bears fans feel moving to another state. Are pissed about it? Because that's a great home field advantage. We'll see. I'm sure in Kansas it'll be great too. I'm sure a lot of maybe those Missouri people will go.
Yeah, how do we know a location where that
Kansas City, Kansas, right?
So what's the trip like then? How big of a trip is it really?
I think it's a trip, but it's not like I'm pretty sure it's they're moving to Kansas City, Kansas, right?
So it is. It's only 7 miles or 7 minutes from Kansas City, Missouri to Kansas City, Kansas. It's not much of a trip.
It's right on the border.
They're right on the border. I was like, yeah, I thought that as a kid growing up, that's what I've been told, but I don't remember. It's right on the border.
I thought it was a trip.
No, so it's not going to be. If that's where the stadium's going to be located, I don't think they'll much care.
Oh, no, then they don't care.
Yeah.
I thought it was a trip. Okay. I didn't know those two were, I didn't know that they were the same thing, quite frankly. 713-780-3776. Is the number you want to get in here. You got one more call, AJ?
He hung up.
He hung up? Okay. Yeah. Well, then let's break. And if you want to get in, 713-780-3776.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We got a caller right away, gets in immediately. So if you call in, shortest wait times in the business. Who is it? Chris, did you say, AJ?
Yes, sir.
Chris, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Dale. I just wanted to ask you guys about our offensive line, what your expectations are. First, are we expected to start some of the rookies that we drafted this year? Do you guys think this offensive line on paper is better than last year? The reason why I'm asking is, you know, see, I think one reason why we don't really like some of what CJ does is it's the pouty face. And I feel like he has no accountability whatsoever for his play. And he wants to blame it on the offensive line or offensive coordinator. I don't see him taking accountability. So I'm just wondering if our offensive line is better on paper and you guys expect them to be better, then I'm hoping we can take that away from his arsenal of blaming others rather than looking at himself in the mirror. I just don't hear a whole lot from CJ as far as I sucked in the playoffs, I need to be better. I see him walking into, you know, the stadium this week with that look on his face like, here I go again, another year with the sorry offensive line. I can't do anything about it. It's not my fault. Anyway, what do you guys think about the offensive line? On paper, is this supposed to be better? Are we going to be starting rookies? Thank you.
Well, AJ, get the D'Amico talking about Rutledge. Get that ready for us. Yes, I think this offensive line is going to have an attitude. They're going to have we've heard about Rutledge and his mean streak, right? I think Wyatt Teller has some of that. He's got a reputation for some of that. Braden Smith has a reputation for some of that. You got to want to, you know, stick people's noses in the dirt. You got to have a badass attitude, and I think it's going to have more so. It will be more so this year. That's what, you know, Rutledge has a reputation for. I mean, just burying people. And I think it will be better. Yes. I don't agree with you about CJ not taking any accountability. I don't agree with you. I don't think that he's been, you know, oh, that wasn't my fault. He said his play was bad. His play in the postseason was bad. I mean, he's not going to come out every day and say, well, I suck. But I think he has taken some accountability for it. I've never heard him blaming the offensive line, ever. I mean, I don't know why he was walking in and you're like, oh, the offensive line sucks again this year. We've never heard him say that. Did you hear that? Have you heard that?
No, he wouldn't have the backing of his team if he was a guy who consistently was the guy that our caller suggested he is. There's no indication that he's that guy. Now, we know that he has had back and forth with OCs, and sometimes, at least behind the scenes, we have been told that CJ will let it be known he's not thrilled with some things, but not about the players. We have not heard that at all, so I don't want to put that on him. As tough as a certain video made him, as tough as that video is, if you have some doubts about him, you look at it and go, oh, okay, here we go again, CJ walking in all sad face, if that was your impression. He doesn't say things about his teammates. We don't hear that. That's not who he has been. As far as the O-line, my question would be, is an attitude enough? If being mean and tough and wanting to punish people, is that going to be enough for an offensive line for the most part? If you just go by what they've been graded as, pretty average. Like, Ed Ingram somehow had a great season last year, and I say that because the expectations were he wasn't going to be a good player, and he was. Teller and Smith were at least graded as average offensive linemen over the last couple seasons. Is attitude going to be enough to get them to where they give us a good running game, which is what D'Amico highlighted yesterday when he spoke? The running game hasn't been good enough. I appreciate people wanting a change in attitude, but what about execution? What about talent? Is Wyatt Teller How far past his prime is Wyatt Teller? He hasn't really been a good offensive lineman for a couple of years now. Now he attributed that to maybe becoming complacent in Cleveland because of that environment. Is that all it is, or is he not the guy he once was? I would like to see it. I appreciate what people are saying, because if you wanted to call parts of the Texans offensive line soft, maybe that was a problem. But I'd like to have good players. I don't know that they have a really good offensive lineman. And whatever that starting unit becomes, who's the good player right now?
Well, we'll see. I mean, did we see Ariante improve? Did we see him? He was a serviceable left tackle last year.
I expect him to take a step.
I expect Braden Smith to be better than anything that than Titus. I expect that. I do. I expect Rutledge to be good. From what we've seen of him in his college days, he does have that. I think they need some ship is what they need. And they got some ship, I think. I think Wyatt Teller brings an attitude. I mean, yes, attitude does matter.
Braden Smith was an average tackle last year. Teller was an average guard last year. We've never seen Rutledge play center on at any level. So
Ingram was
Ed Ingram was a good player last year. That was the biggest surprise from last season. Credit to him. And Ursary, as you said, was serviceable. I think they have a bunch of serviceable players right now. We will see if the unit being serviceable, at least the individuals being serviceable, become good
and
as a unit.
It's more important to be a unit than it is to be good individuals. It's more important that they play well as a unit than have a bunch of stars.
I don't even need stars. I think there's a ceiling to this line, and if it's an average offensive line, that's better than what we had. And I think at this point, people would take it.
A couple of years ago, the stupid mistakes that they made, any time that there was a twist, an end tackle, a twist, they fell. I mean, it was just a stupid line. I think that if they are, if they just are able to protect CJ for a couple, 3 seconds of throw, then it is going to be, and they're able to run block, open some running lanes, and David Montgomery helps that. I'm hoping, they haven't been good. Casario's been terrible, actually. Been terrible. But I think these moves do show promise, if you want to know. I'm excited about Braden Smith. I'm excited. I'm more excited about Wyatt Teller than you are, obviously. I think it needed an attitude, and I think Rutledge brings that. I think Teller brings that. I think Braden Smith brings that. I mean, he's a good run blocker, and an attitude is awfully important in all of that.
The only thing I will counter with, because I don't disagree, that sure, attitude is important. Good offensive linemen, good ones, don't normally come on the market. The Colts and the Browns decided to move on, and we saw what type of contracts Teller and Braden Smith got. They weren't out of this world. They're very reasonable contracts for what they have been over the last couple of years. I'm not saying they're not improvements. I just don't know how high the ceiling is if we're getting serviceable play from all of them. And maybe you're right. Maybe you get five serviceable guys, Kaylee dials it up, and you have an above average unit. And maybe that's all they need.
Let's hear from D'Amico about Rutledge and the rookie coming in and possibly starting.
Well, you come out of the camp, everybody's competing. So our rookies, if you just attack it the right way, I tell our somebody has to be rookie of the year. All right, rookies play well every single year. And it's not where you're trying to go out and attain that. It's just, man, are you just locked in on the small details, what the coaches are asking you to do every day? You have a competitive spirit. You have a willingness and a want to succeed and do great. You're going to do that. So for all of our rookies, Keelan, Marlon, everybody, they just have to come out and just work hard at their craft, and they'll be exactly where we need them to be.
I don't think there's any way that Jake Andrews could beat him up. I just don't think there's any way.
Well, from the people who watch camp, they will make their, at least apparently from day one, Rutledge will have to earn it. He was not running with the ones exclusively. Andrews was getting, at least through the first team segment of the practice, Andrews was out there. And Rutledge was being worked in. So, at least right now, they're going to make the rookie take that job as opposed to handing it to him.
Right. It's the first day of camp.
Well, they've also had mini camps and other all offseason. So, I get it. He's the first rounder, big dude, attitude. He fills for all the boxes that people want from their O-linemen. As it stands now, the Texans are saying, all right, go out there and block our top unit and see if you can go take that job from Jake Andrews.
I just feel like you just can't miss that first round.
They've missed the first round interior offensive lineman. They've done it already.
Well, yeah, but he started right away.
And
well, it wasn't right.
Is that a clue that maybe they're not going to just hand the job to him and you got to own it? They've already learned their lesson. They did it with Kenyon Green, gave him the job, and that was the disaster. I actually hope that the reason that Rutledge isn't just the number one center right now is because they've learned a lesson. We just can't give him the job despite his draft status. Go out there and take it. We don't think that much of Jake Andrews, at least outside. I don't know what they feel like internally. Obviously, they draft a guy to replace him. But go take it from the guy who has all those starts. And if you do it, that means you earned it. And then that means we're in a good spot.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like I just feel like we've seen Jake Andrews. Jake Andrews couldn't make it in New England. You're going to play a guy, if you're going to talk about Wyatt Teller and guys on the open market that can't, that didn't make it with their teams, and good offensive linemen don't get released by teams, well, Jake Andrews was one of those guys,
well,
too.
Well, the Texans have proven they will start a guy who wasn't good for his other team. So why rule it out again?
Well, because you got a first-rounder.
No, I mean the Teller and Smith. I mean, the Texans have already proven they'll take a guy who can't play for someone else and start him.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Breaking here, 713-780-3776. What did we miss today? AJ, you better be ready for this segment. This is where you tell us what we missed today and how stupid we are, okay?
How stupid you are.
No, we are. You're part of the Stell.
Nope.
This is your favorite 2 days of the year when Lance is gone
because
and you get to work with
when
me.
When I
all
get
day.
Asked what we miss, I don't think how stupid one of you is or both of you are. I think, well, one person decided this was the direction of the show, and I go, that one's the stupid one.
Right.
So you
but in this case,
no, AJ,
you were deciding.
No, I was not. Yeah. AJ, you decide that John's been stupid by right. whatever you say he missed.
Well, actually, we have missed. Dreamshake sent us a really good quote, Mario Ellie quote, that we will play for you on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We hit most everything. The Astros, with the sweep, now 500, and with a day off today, probably got in around 6 this morning or so, 5 or 6 this morning, and probably all asleep. So they are good on them. They got to feel good about themselves. That had to be a nice road trip where they took 5 out of 6. From the White Sox and the Angels, and now they're home with the division leaders, Texas, arch rivals, and you got a big weekend series. That'll be fun. This is going to be fun this weekend. Still a couple months left in the season, so not crucial, but it sure would be nice to, for the first time, take over this division and be have everybody else looking up at them.
See, I like to think of some of the Astros as party guys. You think they went to sleep. Okay. I like to think of Lamont Wade as a guy who's going to, like, Prospect Park or something tonight. I don't want everybody on the Astros to be a lame. Like,
well,
can some of the guys...
Well, I mean, he's sleeping now.
Yeah. I know he got in late, but I like to think of some
you
of these guys...
he went straight to the party after
when they
he got off
in,
the plane
when
at
they,
6?
When they got in, everybody's clothes. But tonight...
Oh, yeah. Well, then they can sleep in because I got a night game tomorrow. Yeah. No, I'm hoping. Oh, I hope they all are doing all kinds of drugs. And
I don't know about that. That's what – I didn't say drugs.
Okay. You wanted to go up, be out there, you know, doing blow all night.
Didn't say anything about coke. No one said anything about coke. That's what you're putting on them.
You're the one.
I said I like to think of maybe Lamont Wade at Prospect Park. That's all. Didn't say anything about coke. That's you adding hard drugs to the mix.
Well, I mean, if you're going to party, you might as well go for it.
Well,
what the hell?
You have been able to party without doing coke, right?
Yeah. Oh, sometimes.
Okay. Let's do a percentage.
Okay.
Out of the nights that you party, how many times is it elevated by coke, John?
I don't want to put numbers on things.
Okay. You don't want to limit yourself when it comes to the nights you do coke? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Understood.
So.
I would have gone I'm not incriminating myself.
You're going to put them on partying. Let's go.
No, I think a drink or two, hanging out, meeting people. He's in a new city.
You want Lamont Wade Jr. out of Prospect Park finding some stuff?
I didn't even say that. That's on you.
All right. Mario Ellie, good friend of the show, been, you know, with us for years, used to be a regular. He was interviewed. Who's Willie D?
I don't know.
He was on a podcast with Willie D. Would that be
Willie D's a rapper? Is that the Willie D you're talking about?
At this point,
he's from Houston.
He is
Ghetto Boys.
Okay.
Yeah, Willie D's
does he have a podcast?
I didn't know that. Maybe he does.
Mario Alley was on it. Asked about what about playing against Jordan? And here's what he had to say.
Well, our team, none of us backed down from them. Nobody was scared of them, you know? We love competing against them, you know? That's why you're in the NBA for it. All these guys want to join each other well and play with each other. No, I want to beat you. I want to beat you. LeBron, you say you the GOAT. Why are you joining Bosh and, you know what I'm saying? We wasn't doing that in the 90s. Like Dream calling Jordan up. You want to link up and call him Bird and Magic up. Y'all want to link up and play? You hear those old school dudes talk. They don't want to. I want to beat you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to join you. These boys want it easy right now. It's the AAU era right now. Well, everybody want it easy. Everybody want it easy. LeBron want Anthony Davis. Who else you want, LeBron? You talking about you to go. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? So, great player. Love him. But everybody want to play buddy ball, you know, instead of just having elite competition.
That's hard to disagree with.
I don't remember exactly because I was a young kid in the 90s, but was player movement even available like that, like it is, like when LeBron
Charles
did it?
Moved. Yeah. Charles moved.
But, you know, Charles Barkley wound up with Hakeem, so did Scottie Pippen. It happened. Yeah. Guys wound up playing with other stars.
But older for the most part.
But
yeah, Bob McAdoo moved late in his career. Bill Walton moved late in his career.
Charles
moved because he was a wild man in Philadelphia.
I just don't remember how free agency went back then. Could you even make something like that happen? I don't remember. I just don't know.
Yeah, you could have. Yeah, but it didn't seem to happen, you know. It didn't, you know. Charles could have gone to the Bulls, but it didn't happen. He went to the Suns, and, you know, he and Kevin Johnson had a nice run. They just couldn't get over the top.
Was he traded, or was he a free agent?
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure he was a free. I don't remember how it worked out. But it was. The first of it happening, actually, was Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen.
Yeah, LeBron catches the brunt of that, but that was engineered for all three of those guys to be on the team. Now, it happened through trade, but Kevin Garnett had a say. He was the star of Minnesota. If he had said, no, I don't want to go to Boston, they wouldn't have traded him to Boston.
Right.
But I guess because LeBron had the decision, all that stuff that highlighted it, but... There were opportunities for guys to make moves like that, and Kevin Garnett took advantage of it. He was tired of not winning in Minnesota and saw an opportunity, and McHale, being the guy who was running that team, did his old team a favor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that was really the first of it that, you know, of joining forces. And I don't know if it's the new game, but... Yeah, back in the day, you just tried to, you stayed with your team, and if you were good enough, and you hoped the general manager would make the right moves. Yeah, I mean.
So he was traded to the Suns.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley was.
He was traded?
Yes.
But it was probably a forced trade, if I remember correctly.
That the Sixers were done with him? Because of his issues in Philly?
He had issues.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that he wanted to be there. They weren't, you know, he wanted to win, and they weren't winning. It was right after, you know, 83, they won it with Moses Malone and Doc, and they had a pretty, Maurice Cheeks, and then he came along, and they weren't the same. It wasn't the same. Art says, We missed the Daniela Guzman story.
Yeah.
She was suspended by KPRC because she got free World Cup tickets and Bruno Mars tickets. World Cup was the sports authority. If you're an anchor, you cannot take free tickets, especially from an organization that you might have to cover.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't do that. We could do that. We're not journalists.
Not a chance. We're journalists. Yeah. I was trying to figure out the conflict. So she had to report on the Houston Sports Authority. Would she give them favorable coverage because they gave her tickets? And
exactly.
So as a journalist, as an anchor for a local news station, you're not allowed to take freebies from.
We can take. If anybody wants to give us tickets, I'll take them. Hey, Sports Authority, did I get World Cup tickets from you? No.
You talking about them doesn't have the same type of impact. But Art makes a good point. Based on Judge Granato's ruling,
she's free.
Is she guilty or not?
Not guilty.
Okay. Danielle Guzman, not suspended.
Not suspended.
If you were running KPRC.
Yeah. No. She's not guilty. It's okay, Danielle. It's all right. Can you give the tickets back?
No. The World Cup is over. The Bruno Mars concert is over. She cannot give the tickets back.
Can you forget you went?
What? You want her mind wiped so she doesn't have the memories anymore?
Yep. And so
do we have that technology?
You never saw.
You're asking for her to get a lobotomy is what you're saying.
Right.
I don't know. I think she would take the suspension. Over being lobotomized.
Over the lobotomy?
Yeah, I think she'll take the suspension. She's not fired, right? It's a suspension, or is it still under review?
She's suspended.
Okay, so she will be able to
return.
It's
a fireable offense, though.
Yeah.
It is.
It is. It's not what you're supposed to do.
No, it's not what you're supposed to do.
But you know what? If it came down to it and I was working for KPRC, I wouldn't have known not to do it. Someone would have to told me.
Well, but you're not a news anchor. You learned that early on.
Oh, they tell you in a meeting, hey, don't take free stuff?
Yeah.
We get in meetings and they say, hey, take free stuff. Hey, if you need something free,
take it. I used to take all kinds of free stuff when I was an anchor, anchor.
Don't incriminate yourself.
I don't. It's past, okay?
I want retroactively for you to be punished now because you admitted to it. What did you take?
Yes, I took all kinds of.
List something you took.
Free tickets, free meals.
And did you go soft?
When I was.
Were you soft on the people?
I go to the racetrack and get they buy me dinner and everything. Yeah.
And when you needed to report on them, were you fair?
Oh, I was always positive.
Okay.
I was always positive.
So you can be bought pretty easily.
Easily.
All right.
What? Like this is news.
You know, for the kids, they thought you had scruples.
No, you got. I'm scrupulous, right?
Unscrupulous.
I mean, like this is unscrupulous.
Yeah,
yeah. Is there a scrupulous? No, it's unscrupulous.
If it's unscrupulous, don't you have to be scrupulous as well?
I don't know.
Yeah, scrupulous is a word. You can be scrupulous. Extremely honest, fair, careful to do what's right and moral. Yeah, that's not you.
Unscrupulous.
That's not you at all.
Right.
Not honest, not right or moral, and never precise with the small details.
Never.
In fact, you have a whole segment where you don't care exactly what's going on. You just pose ridiculous questions to the people.
Like
me and Lance.
Right.
We'll get to that segment next. It's News of the Weird, and John will ask questions and not read the story that he's asking the questions about.
I got the headline.
Well, they teach you not to just read the headline.
I know, but again.
Not a journalist.
Not a journalist. Never have been, really, if you want to know the truth. Yes, I broke all the rules. Okay. I did. What? Next. Okay. That's all. News of the Weird coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right, boys. Need your opinion on this one. A relationship drama has divided the internet after a woman was caught using a customized adult toy featuring Premier League star Erling Haaland, leading her partner to accuse her of cheating. If you put Erling Haaland's face on your toy, is that cheating?
AJ, you want to take this one?
AJ, I was going to say, you do this first.
What's that?
He didn't want to answer it either. Is it cheating if you put a picture of a famous person on your sex toy? No. What's the difference? Unless you are willing to allow her to accuse you of cheating by watching whatever you're watching, and if she calls it cheating, you agree with it. No, it's not cheating. You can't do that. What's fair is fair.
AJ, I see your face.
He doesn't want to get involved. You know he's a man of God. He just did the CJ thing earlier.
I don't talk about it. I just prefer them not to do that. Like, yeah, if we're married, like, I mean, self-explanatory.
Understood. You know? You don't want it to happen, but it just.
What if it's your girlfriend?
He doesn't want that either. You don't want
you don't
that.
Need no, that
who,
in your life?
Your options open.
Who actually wants that? Who actually wants to know that your significant other is not, well, use a sex toy, whatever, do what you gotta do, but it's putting the face of someone on it. No one wants that. Who's looking for that?
Yeah. I don't know. It just feels like, I kind of feel like you're cheating if you're thinking about Erling Haaland instead of me.
That's why I said, what is this relationship like? Is she accusing you of the same just because you might have a particular video up or whatever? If she is, then you can accuse her. But if she's not, we keep it moving. I mean, it's odd that you would put the Viking on the on the toy, but whatever.
I guess people do weirder stuff than that.
Well, you've told us about weirder stuff than that.
Yeah, there's a lot
as
of
far
weird,
as news of the weird is
there's
concerned.
There's a lot of weird stuff out there. A 32-year-old woman and a 75-year-old man busted for allegedly having loud sex in front of children in an apartment complex pool in Texas, Waco, Texas. Which is grosser? The 32-year-old woman and the 75-year-old man in the pool, or doing it in front of the kids?
I think the kids thing makes it kind of a, I don't know, does it make it illegal? I don't know. I think it's the kids thing.
That's, yeah, it's a lewd act.
Yeah,
so
then
it is illegal.
That, yeah, the kid.
It should be illegal anyway, though.
You have a problem with that big of an age gap?
I'm looking at the two people. I have a problem, period.
Oh,
guilty.
Well, just both of them. All
guilty.
Right. I don't, look, love is love, John. Mm. Love is love. The worst part is you committing the lewd act.
You sure there weren't drugs or alcohol involved in this? You sure it's love?
You read the story, John. You got it in front of you. I'm
pretty sure it's not love.
Well, lust is lust, then. I don't really care.
Well, I think there might have been some
drugs, lust. You're just suggesting Astros do coke, so you have no leg to stand on.
Yeah. No, I did not. You're the one that wanted them out partying at 6 in the morning when they got home.
I said Prospect Park. I didn't say anything about drugs. You brought the coke into the conversation.
You don't know what's going on at Prospect Park.
So you don't have a problem with the drugs. So why are you saying it's a problem now?
I have a problem with a 32-year-old and a 75-year-old man in a public pool when they look like that.
Do whatever you want. Just make sure kids aren't around.
Yeah. Don't do it in the public pool, first of all. Other people have to swim in that.
Worse bodily things have come out in that pool than whatever they were doing.
Again, I'm looking at the two of them. Guilty, guilty.
You're very judgmental, that's all. Keep it moving. Right. Let the less attractive people have sex, too. It has to happen. You know it does.
No, it doesn't. We could start, a civilization of... those people don't have relations.
I mean, they can have sex. They don't
make
have to
it a prettier world.
Look,
Del.
I don't
we
mind
can make it a prettier world.
People can. I'm always against procreation, no matter what people look like. Honestly, stop having kids. They're annoying, just like you.
Well,
trust me, the number of times an annoying couple people are creating annoying kids, it's high.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. AJ's like, hey, enough of this silliness. All right, I want out of here.
Oh, AJ's got a big day. He's got a Spider-Man movie to get to.
AJ, you want to see Spider-Man?
So am I.
The whole today and tomorrow.
Everybody on this side.
Is this a new one?
Yeah, it's a brand new day coming out. Well, it's out now. Michael has seen it because he reviews movies. Sean is seeing it today. I'm seeing it today. AJ's seeing it today. We're all seeing Spider-Man. John,
you all going to the same? You going to sit next to each other and share popcorns?
No, AJ's going to be... Popcorns? AJ's going to... AJ's gone. Sean has to stay after me, after I leave. We're all going to different theaters at different times.
Well, AJ's like, well, shut up because I got to get to the movies.
Well, the movie, right? He's going like after noon. He'll be fine. He's got plenty of time.
First. Gonna eat? You going to eat popcorn at the movie, AJ?
For sure. Favorite snack.
That's it. There it is. All right. We're done. Mopey and Mapes are next right here on ESPN 97.5. We will talk to you again tomorrow, bud.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
Bye, bitch.